Zev Smith, Be'etzim needs no introduction here at the Night Koilo. We have heard Shurim Baruch Hashem, many Shurim in the past. Just last winter, we learned Hilchas Kibud Av Ein. The CD is on the shelf. Many times over was sold out, and we made it again and again. The MP3, other topics, Tzedakah for the Yeshiva Spein Asmanim. Shlomo HaMelech says, Mishlei Dover Be'itoi Matoiv. In the Psukim, in this week's parasha, these many different drushes, what we learn on the topic of tonight, of Kedushin, Nesuin. One of the most famous is Kicha, Kicha, Mestei Ephron, the Kinyan of Kedushin. It's a schus, a covet for the night coil here in Beis Medrash Archaim to hear a shiur from Reb Zev Smith Shlita, a general overview on Kedushin, Nesuin, the Menhagim, the Halachas. We, Baruch Hashem, have a chassan here that came to listen to the shiur, and we have potential chassan of Be'ez Hashem, Rav Zev Smith Shlita.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I was a little late. We had a delay. I happened to make a pigeon event for my ankle today also. So I couldn't leave too early, and I couldn't count on the traffic. But anyhow, I hope I'll make it worth your while. I was once by a chassan. And I was casually watching the chuppah. I was up front, and I felt very sad that it was obvious that the chassan, okay, the kala, I understand, but the chassan and the parents had no clue what's going on. And as they came to get married, and they paid an exorbitant amount of money for the chassana, but as far as the going-ons of the chuppah, they were clueless. You know, the ring, the edim, the kais, who drinks, you know. And I was thinking, it's very sad. People spend so much time and money and effort for the chasana. Shouldn't we at least have an introduction into the basic step-by-step procedure of the chasana? We know the famous chazal that Misha Enedei Bativ Gittin V'Kedushin Lo Yeh Esik Imohan. And some say, of course, that means that if you don't know anything about Kedushin, don't get involved in Kedushin. Don't be a Masada Kedushin. But that's not my point. I'm not training Masadri Kedushin here. But I guess for the rest of us that are making chasanas or attending chasanas, and there's so much going on, and there's so much significance, there's so much meaning, there's so much depth in what we do, at least we should know what we're doing. So again, it's going to be a brief overview of a step-by-step of the chasana, of the chuppah. And hopefully we'll gain a better appreciation of what we do, experience what's really happening. One thing we do know, that the chasana begins, so to speak, by the chuppah. But that's not necessarily true. As Rabbi Shaina mentioned, we have a lot of chasana talk in these week's sedras. We find by Rivka, Vatika Chatzoiv, Vatiskos. Yitzchak took a veil and he covered her. Now, this has led some Paiskim to say that really the first step of the actual marriage is the Badekin. Now, I want to tell you something. I was by a chassan, and the chassan asked very innocently, what's the Badekin all about? So at least he asked it. Some people don't even ask. They don't even know what it is. You know, it's something you cover the kala, like why do you have to cover the kala? So it's said that a chassan doesn't know that according to some shittas, the badeking is an integral part of the nesuin, of the kedusha, I should say. Taisis in Yuma, Taisis says, as we know, it's really actually the Gemara, that kala yotze bihinuma, besula mishayotze bihinuma havi chuppah shelah. When she goes with her uncovered hair, that's the chuppah. And this is quoted by the Bach in Simon Samach Aleph, the Drisha in Simon Samach Hei. But we find, besides in Rivka, a reference of covering the kala, we know by Rus, since he covered her with a talis, what does that mean? So if you are of German descent, you'll feel proud. That's why in the German community, they have a talis over chassan and kala, by the chuppah. If you never saw that, well, wait till you see it. It's very interesting. It's a little bit romantic also. They throw a talis over chas and kala. But that's kivan shapiris talisi aleh. But the point is, there are gedolei ha-poskim that say that really, in actuality, one phase of the kedushin is the badekin. He is literally doing what Yitzhak did to Rivka, batika chatzoif, he took the veil, batiskos. Uferastik nafecha, like was done by Rus. In fact, there are some Mesadri Kedushin, and if you have seen the Chasam, that they insist that they go to the Badekin and they bring along Edim. They want that should also be witnessed, because in a certain sense that's part of the actual total kinyan of the Kedushin. This is done by in some circles, the Mesadri Kedushin accompanies them, but I must say that most don't have Edim. And the assumption is we have enough kinyanim as we proceed by under the chuppah, the yichud room, etc. In fact, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch records the minute that the chassan did not go to the Badekin, the Rav, the Masada the Kedushin, went. I know it's hard to believe, but I witnessed this rather here in Muncie many, many years ago. Yankov Kamenetsky was the Masada Kedushin of a friend of mine here in Muncie. And the chassan stayed by the chassan table, and Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky made the Badekin. That's the minig in some Hasidic circles, that the Rav does it, not the Chassan. Rav Ozna in a tshuva in Chelek Tesim in Ayin Reish says in Hungary the minig was that they didn't have Edim, other places do. But Lamaisa, he says, if there are Edim there that see it, you don't have to have the most prominent Edim. So whether your minig is that you count the Badekin into the big picture of Kedushin or not, at least we should be an educated consumer. The Badekin, you know, a lot of pictures going on, a lot of, attention being paid, but it's very possible. And if someone has in mind that aspect, that would be a stage of the Kedushin. Actually, it's a little of a problem because Erisin really precedes Nisuin, and this seems to be sort of like a Nisuin. So there's a lumbus about that as well. But that we could definitely say that whatever your minig is, let's say, the Edom do go or don't go, but at least you should know what's happening. Now, the next stage of the chasana is, of course, the actual giving of the ring. Now, that's referred to as the Siddur Kedushin. Now, I was once by a chasana, and the inexperienced brother, I think the brother of the Kala, but it was the inexperienced, excited brother who was making the announcements. This is his debut, his first, performance. So he announced it, so and so and so and so, Eidin is suin. Boy, was there an uproar. Because that's not Nisuin. The Re'et Mikudeshesli is undoubtedly Erisin. So you can't call up Eidin is suin, when terminology is always important, but especially if you misidentify a phase of the chasana, that could be problematic. So this is called Masada Kedushin. This is basically a function of Erisin. Now, that's why you have Birchas Erisin, understandably. The question is, who makes this bracha, or these brachas, of the actual Siddur Kedushin? Generally, the minig is, minig is almost across the board, if I do a mitzvah, Tilas Dulav, I make a bracha. We don't have someone else making a bracha for me. So it really makes sense that if the chassan getting married, he should make the brachas. Why is the minig that the Masada Kedushin makes the brachas? Now, of course, Berchas HaMitzvahs, I can make a bracha just for you. But let the chassan do it if he's capable, and hopefully he's able to make brachas. So the Drisha and others say something very inspiring. Shalei Levayish Misha Eina Yadeya. Imagine you have a chassan, he's getting married, and today, Baruch Hashem, we're more learned than they used to be. He's illiterate. So by his chassan, he's going to be subject to a terrible embarrassment. That's not, in accord with the basis of Yiddishkeit. So we made a standard minig. The chassan does not say it. The Masada Kedushin says it. Some say it's merzi ki yuara, like you get up and you do it yourself. Some say the chassan is too nervous, so he might not do it right. But whatever the case is, I think it's something noteworthy, the sensitivity that we have not to embarrass an illiterate chassan, although you might say, well, that's your fault, who asked you not to learn how to read? But that's Yiddishkeit. I once made a list of many halachas, shalei levayish mi she'ein loy. You don't do things when others will be slighted, even though it's indirect and certainly inadvertent. But one thing I will tell you, whether you're chassan or potential chassan, or you have children getting married, the chassan and kala have to listen to those brachas. That's not a ceremony that the Masada Kedushin has to say. It's like he's saying a hiratzin that he should be Masada Kedushin properly. You chassan should make the brachas. I say Yuchasim. Now the Yehuda Netshuva seems to say that the Ikab Chiyav Brach is on the Chasim. Many Paiskim say it's a Chiyav on both. They are performing a Kedushin together. But whatever the case is, the real Chiyav Brach is on the Chasim and Kala. So how inappropriate, that's a mild word, but how wrong it is that the Masada Kedushin is making the bracha for you, and you Chasin are in dreamland. Also, if the bracha is said for the Chasin and Kala, he shouldn't be talking until after the Kedushin. I once was by a Chasin, I was up front, and all of a sudden the Chasin turns to Kala, "How'd you fast today?" Now, it's nice to be considerate, but you know something? According to many Shitas, there would have to be another bracha. In between the bracha and the mitzvah, someone spoke out. So the Birchas HaBayis, which is essentially a sefer on brachas, Simon Samach Beis, but he has a on Hilchas Birchas Nesu and Birchas Erisin, he has a shaila. If, let's say, if the Masada Kedushin spoke out, so then the bracha is still good for the Chasin Kala, because the bracha is set for them. But what he says, without a doubt, if the Chasin and Kala talk out, then you're not Yoitza. So I was thinking, it's not a bad idea, because we're always short on Kibudin. Now we'll have a second Masada Kedushin. Second Brach, is that how you call it? But the truth is, it's something that, you know, it's an oversight. If you don't learn anything about it, how is an innocent Chasin supposed to know that the Brach is for him? It's mamish like a Yotza Moitzi type of thing. I'm making a Brach just for you, Chasin, so please, cooperate, be there. So therefore, Lamaisa, this is something that's very important. The brachas are being said. The analogy is simple. When you make lulav, shake lulav, you make a bracha. Now, the truth is, yotzei moitzi, I could have someone do it for me. But at least listen if he's doing it for you. Now, the next question is the question about the actual drinking, the actual boyer priagofen. Now, boyer priagofen basically is a regular bracha that's set on the kais of wine. Now, lamaisa, generally, I don't make a bracha just for you if it's a birchas hanen. If you have a coffee in the morning and you're too tired to make a shakel, I can make a shakel just for you. If I'm drinking and you're drinking, I could exempt you. But I can't say a bracha for you like, you know, you sit back and I'll make a bracha and you drink. A mitzvah I could do. I can make kiddush for you. But a birchas hanenin, you can't say just for someone else. Again, you could include him in your bracha, but you can't make it just for him. And here's the big question. When you're talking about the kais that's used under the chuppah, who drinks and who's the real mevarich in this case? The Be'er Sheva, the great Be'er Sheva, and the Maftechai, Simon Memtes, he wonders about the minig that he writes, me'at mizer, just a handful of people, drink a minimal malay lugmav. I mean, really, a revius is better, but a malay lugmav is the minimum. This is a regular kaishal bracha. Why is there no consumption, a significant consumption of the wine? So he says, Yireyes Dvar Hashem, V'charid al Dvarav, someone should drink a revius. Drink a revius and make a bracha achrayna. But minimally, there must be a consumption of a malay lugmav. That's what he says. I just saw this today, Reb Shimon Seifer was the son of the Ksav Seifer. Shimon Seifer, the Osiris Tshuva, the Rav of Krakow. And by his chasana, in presence of his father, the Ksav Seifer, and Gedolei Yisrael, after the brachas was said, he sat down and he drank a revius and made an Aleh Geffen in front of his father and Gedolei Yisrael. He was a young man at the time. I think if you do that today, I think the cow's going to run away. But the question is, why isn't that necessary? So the emes is, it's interesting, it's something so basic, you know, let's hear the answer. So what I saw, again, Achrayim discussed this question. The Marsham says it's not done, it's never done. The main reason seems to be that there's a minig b'chol tvutzis Yisrael that the chasin and kala fast the day of the chuppah. One of the reasons is because if he's going to eat, he might drink a revius of wine. And then he's going to wake up the next morning, "Oh, I didn't mean this, I was forced into this, I was drunk when I made a kedushin." So a whole day he's fasting, and then under the chuppah he drinks a revius of wine? he's really going to have a good excuse if he, you know, decides to, you know, to chicken out. You know, I was under the influence of wine. You all saw that I was drinking wine. So it's interesting, like, it is a kosher bracha, not a kosher bracha. The answer is, if you look at the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim, the Rambam, says the Farish, there really is no need for a kais by kedusha. The minig, the poiskim stress, the minig is to have a kais, but it is not governed by all of hilchos kaisel bracha that there's an absolute need to have a revius. So therefore, it's like something like mila. We all know when you have a mila on a child on a tainis. So if no one drinks, no one drinks. The main thing is the minig is to have a kais. You make a bracha on the minig. In fact, I saw an interesting analogy. Just like we know that we make a bracha l'moshel on Hallel, on Rosh Chodesh, and Misvardim don't, Ashkenazim do, because it's a minig. Even though you could say minig don't make a bracha, but a minig is enough to make a bracha. So we make a bracha on the kais, even though there is no subsequent consumption of the wine. Now, the question is, okay, so the Chasan and Kala don't have to drink too much. And what about the Masada Kedushin? He made the Guffin. Why is he not drinking? The Chasan and Kala, they can't drink Revius. Okay, fine. They drink a little bit, but what about the Masada Kedushin? You yourself made the Bar Priya Guffin. So this, the Pnei Yeshua, going back many hundred years ago, said is a Milsa the Tmi Li Tuva. Why is the Masada Kedushin not drinking? He doesn't have to get married. He's not getting married. He leaves it as a tzarechin. The Steichemet quotes a Rambam that seems that the minig was that the Masada Kedushin drank the Kaisul Brach. So now it comes out good. Chas and Kala don't have to drink. Someone has to drink. Let the Masada Kedushin drink. Now here's the Lamaisa. It is not done. I mean, I have not yet to see a Masada Kedushin that sits down. I mean, Rabbi Shimon Seifer was a chassan drank, but these things are exceptional. Where do you see a Masada Kedushin that starts drinking the wine? So there is a quote from Rabbi Chaim. This is an Afika Yam Chelik Beisim in Beis, that he heard this from the Bris Gedayin of Simcha Zelig. That's why Rabbi Chaim had a very interesting minig. He would make the bar pig off on the kais, and then when the kais would be taken out of his hand, he would have a need to stroke his beard. But inadvertently, when no one noticed, his finger that had some wine on it from the spillage when he's holding the kais, there was a little bit of wine on it. So he sort of got his hand in his mouth and a drop of wine entered his mouth. To have a bracha bichal, you don't have to have a revius, you don't have to have a leilugma. If the only concern was bracha lebatala, he was yaitzi with them. In other words, he drank the wine in a way that it was not noticeable. Now, you'll say, why can't he just lick his finger? Well, that's inappropriate. I mean, it would be a great picture for the photographers, you know. When is the Masada Kedushin going to lick his finger? But, you know, there's a certain lack of derech eretz in there. So when no one saw, he did it. Now,
could you say the same parrots that someone that does a bracha?
Could be. We'll get that in a minute. Yeah, I'm going to take it. Now, but the irony of this is, Rabbi Zalman Sirotskin, father of Baruch Sirotskin, he has a tshuva seif in Maznayim Lamishpat, Simon Yud Beis, and I saw the truth with my own eyes. He asked the Briskerov, did your father have this minig of licking his finger? And the Briskerov said, I never saw my father do this. Maybe his father was so concealed. But the Briskerov was not a fool. He saw his father's menhagim. So, you know, he quoted from Reb Simcha Zelig. He said his father never did it. And I didn't see Reb Chaim, that's for sure. But Lamaisa, you look into the Poiskim, the Aitzah Poiskim quotes of Shimon Salant and the Zundel Salant. The Imre Emes in a tshuva writes that was the minig what to get some wine, somehow get some wine into your mouth. Now, the point is that if it's a Birchas Hanenin, there has to be some consumption of the wine. Now, it seems many Masada Kedushin are not makbid, and the assumption is, like Yutaka said, that if we're assuming that it's a minig on the Kedushin, it's not a regular Birchas Hanenin. So it would be like by a bris. I mean, I made it, one of my bris I made was on Sukkot. We made it in the shul. And the Rav that got the bracha said he's not going to drink the wine because he doesn't drink out of the sukkah. We made the bris in the shul, not in the sukkah. So no problem. Mm-hmm. If it's part of the text of the nusach, there's no need to drink. If you make a bracha on a coffee, you have to drink the coffee. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm not telling you what to do. If you'll ever be a Masada Kedushin, you don't need me to tell you what to do. But some people are makbid, some are not. But at least we know where it's coming from. Now, what's interesting Reb Shlomo Zalman in Halichas in Mincha Shloim with the Tshuva's Chelagal Simin Ches in Hagah, he quotes an interesting reason why the Rav can't drink, because Allah is a Talmud Chacham should not eat or drink in public. So you're talking about a chasana, there's a nice oilam. So it's inappropriate, as covered of the Masada Kedushin, who's usually a Talmud Chacham of esteem, to drink publicly. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says, but you know, if you assume that that's true, how could you make a Kedushin? Gemara says, Rav Mangit Amanda Mekadesh Bishuk. If you're telling me that a chasana has the loch of Oichel Bishuk, so then you can't get married. Are you classifying a chuppah as a shuk?
No.
I hope not. Then you can't get married. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says it can't be the reason. The main reason is, listen to this, because chosid daimel melech, so really, he should drink first. If the Masada Kedushin drink first, he's going before the melech. Also, it's inappropriate that the one that makes the bracha drinks, he's making the bracha for the chosid, he should drink afterwards, because he didn't assume that the licking finger idea. But he says the minig is you give to the chasen kala, and the Mitzvah doesn't have to drink. But you see that the interesting einfall just to justify the minig, but it seems the minig in most places was that the Mitzvah did not drink, the chasen kala were given to drink. Now, lemaisa, what's important to mention, again, I'm not nitpicking of the chumris, simple, basic halach. Let's say I am the Mitzvah Kedushin, and I make a bracha, and I'm not the finger licker minig. Okay, why? What justifies my making the bracha? So basically, if things are done right, you don't have to come on to my chiddush that it's a minig dikke bracha. Basically, the reason is because I'm making a bracha for the chasen and kala. They're being yait with my bracha, so then the bracha is justifiable. But how often chasen and kala are so nervous when you give them something to drink, they impulsively make a bracha. I mean, hopefully they make a guffin, but they make a barbecue guffin. So then the chas is left, the Masada Kedushin is left out in the cold. I made a bracha just for you. And you can make your own bracha? So, again, a little planning. But often the Masada Kedushin tells the chas and kala that, but they're so nervous they forget it. Had they learned the sugya properly, it would be simple. This man is doing me a big favor. Besides marrying me off, he's making the brachas for me. He's making the brachas guffin for me. Let me at least listen. Let me at least avail myself of his services. So again, a little training is all we need. A chasen kala goes to the chasana. They should know what's happening and what's going on. Basically, they listen to the bracha, say amen. Amen is not ma'akev, but better say amen. And then drink when given the wine without making a new bracha. If they taka make their own bracha, then there will be more of a reason, if the Masada Kedushin is concerned about that, to take a lick of the finger. That l'chore makes sense. Why don't we sit down when we drink? Halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, in fact, that when you drink wine especially, you're supposed to sit down. Those that make Havdalah standing, before they drink, they sit down. The answer is precisely like we just mentioned. You're not supposed to drink standing. But this is not a drinking, this is a te'ima. This is a te'ima to be yoitza, a kaishel bracha, but there's no, it's not a din in shtia. If it's no din in shtia, there's no din in sitting. Again, I told you, Rabbi Shimon Seifa sat down, but you know, that's when you come up Shimon Seifa, then you could do these things. We just drink a little bit and you move on. The next question is a sticky question, but to mention it, then people will, you know, act accordingly. There's a big ha'ara on the chasanis today, and coming more and more of the norm, the question of using a microphone for the brachas of the chuppah. Now, let me just give you a very, very brief overview. The microphone, as a telephone, as any electronic device, does not capture the sound and just basically spit it out. There's no such thing. It takes the sound, it converts it into electrical impulses, and recreates electronically exactly the way it was said. But whether you understood what I just said or not, the sound you hear over the microphone is a newly produced sound. I said the bracha, true. It went into the microphone, and now it was recreated electronically. Now, you don't have to know how it works, but one thing I could tell you, when I talk into a phone to someone around the corner, my voice doesn't run through the wires because there's no wires today, obviously, right? My voice doesn't go through the ear. It's all electrical impulses that are converted into sound waves the other side because of the diaphragm, etc., etc. So here's the question. The halacha is for a chuppah, it's a gemara, we learn in Ksubis, for to make brachas, you have to have a minyan. Minyan does not mean 10 bodies. Minyan is translated in the Bialach and Siman Nun Zayin, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, the Rav says this in Hilchas Minyan, you have to have 9 shoymin, not 9 answerers, not people saying amen, not bodies and not amens, 9 people listening to your bracha. So, the question is, if I make a bracha into a microphone, and the whole Olam hears it because the microphone is booming, but not one person heard my natural voice. So you have 400 people that didn't hear the Berchas Erison. And that's why there was a country that came out, and I read through it literally from cover to cover. There was, come out all the Gedolim, Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Vozna, etc. All of them seemed to say that we should try not to use microphones by a chuppah. Now, the reason, the justification, hopefully, for the Minig HaOlam is that the people in the immediate vicinity, under the chuppah, there are 10 people that do hear it. So that's true, if that's true. I mean, that's just a fact that you have to try to clarify. You know, the olden days, you used to have the speakers in the back of the hall. So you sat in the front, you heard the live voice. But today, the speakers are dispersed all over the place. And, you know, it's just, you have to know the metzias. In that kunjus, there's a Sire Devolitsky, he says when he's given a bracha, when they use a microphone, he won't take even one bracha. Because the other brachas don't count, according to his opinion. So his bracha is a bracha of Atala. It's like making one bracha all of a sudden. Now, the minig, some people push away the microphone, some people continue to make the bracha with the microphone. But at least you should know, if a Masechta Kedushin says, I would rather not make a bracha on a microphone, he's not coming from dream world. This is something that people are concerned about. It's the brachas of Levatala. First, the Kalabalei bracha. Rabbi Sayyid Litzi calls it a Kalabalei bracha. So the truth is, that's saying amen. There's nothing to do with this. This is shaman. Amen, you're allowed to say, but you don't have it. It's a Kalabalei bracha. I'll tell you something interesting. One of my rabbis had a rabbi, he was a Goyin Olam. He never went to Chassan, but once he went to Chassan, this is the joke, but something happened, and they called him up, and he didn't go. So they said, they're calling you. So he goes, you don't say, what's the kibbutz by a chasana? That they call you on the microphone, everybody hears, oh, you're getting a bracha. A bracha I can say at my house. So I want to hear it again. They call me again. So part of the kibbutz is they announce you on the microphone, and if you don't use the microphone, it's not worth the effort. So if that's your cheshbon, then... But the point is that there has to be a certain, a focus. If it could be avoided, it could be avoided. Now, it used to be a milo, when they made a chuppah outdoors. There were 2 miles of making a chuppah outdoors in the olden days. First of all, there was no microphone. And also, people did really what it should be, that you're supposed to stand by a chuppah. But today, the outdoor chuppahs have microphones and there are plenty of seats. So that seemed to have, passed on into the oblivion, that eitzah. But anyhow, what do you do? Whether you use it or not, again, I've seen gedolim that are makpid, I've seen gedolim that use the microphone. But at least to know where we're coming from. Now, the next question that I want to move on a little bit is the concept of the actual Kedushin itself. I should mention the most important part of the Kedushin, without doubt, the most prominent kibbutz should be the Eidus. You need kosher Eidus, everything else is not really a chiyuv. I mean, people, Bachim get all nervous, that they have grandfathers and they want to give to Rabbanim. I tell them, this is the biggest kibbutz you have. Can you have a Zayda? Baruch Hashem, give it to him. It doesn't affect your marriage if you had a chashev a bracha, not a chashev a bracha. No, by a sandik it says the sandik influences the child. But bracha is kibudim, even say the gedushin. Doesn't have an influence, an impact on the couple's future. So people have zedus, they should be very proud of it, and baruch Hashem. But the question is, edus, of course, can't be relatives. Edus should be chosen carefully, because that's really what makes this wedding happen. And there's a minig to be miyached edim. Sakdush will say, miyached these 2 edim. Why is that so? Because the halacha is, and this is an interesting application of the sugi that we are well known with, too, that edishe batla miktsasa batla kula. If you're going to say, I'm getting married, and there's 500 people, so I'm sure there are 2 kosher edim, let's go on. We don't have to get edim. Let's just, there seems to be a nice crowd out there. But the problem is, since some of them, or generally a lot of them are kraivim, and they're all watching, not to be aides, but they're watching. So if you're taking unidentified aidim, then everybody joins the club. Aidish batla mitzasa batla kula. Plus, you want the aidim to concentrate. You want them to get a close-up look. If they're sitting in the back, they're not going to see. So that's why the minhag has become to be miyachid aidim. It's not ma'akiv the geula. It's not a chsaron in the kedushin. But when they call up two aidim, and sometimes they say, "You are miyachid these aidim." Now, some will exclude anybody else. Now, some are afraid that just in case the aidim are maybe puzzle, maybe you want to have a backup. But you know, we don't have. We're not so nervous. You have aidim. You're ready. Now, Lamaisa, the Masada Kedushin, now I'm going to tell him what to do, but he should try to miyachad the Eidim. All this should be done before the brachas. Because Lamaisa, he's making a bracha on the Kedushin, then he's talking out with other things. So generally they do it before the chuppah starts, you know, the actual Kedushin starts, and that's where it fits in. Now, the truth, you're right, it's probably considered a sukkim b'isinyan, he's doing l'shem the Kedushin, so it's not a hefsik mamish, but that's really why, you know, that would be the right order. Now, who's kosher for Eidus? So let me just get a little of a tidbit here. The Masada Kedushin are makbid any relative, even a distant, that the wives were cousins, is not really a pasul Eidus, but they will not take any kroivim. So before you choose Eidim, let's say you and you choose, and your mechutin, make sure they're not kroivim. Wives, distant kroivim. I was once by a chassid, they called tuchash v'yidin, and Masada Kedushin says, "Are you kroivim?" "No." "Oh, well, my wives are." And he says, "I have to get other Eidim." And the worst thing is they call up other Cheshuvim for Eidus. It's not a kibbut at all. It's like a pinch hitter. You know what I mean? Just no one else, they got you. So, Chacham Ein Mereisha, you know, have to have a little discussion with your Mechutin. I mean, Baruch Hashem, hopefully you're still talking one to the other. So make sure that the Eidim are going to shtim. Now, again, the point is that if you know what's happening, it's easier. Now again, technically, is a wife's cousin make them pasul? I think it was even a second cousin. It's not a game. The Masada Kedushin are very makbid. The mechutin could be kashal eidus mitzada din, but they'll never let that happen. You know, people are very makbid on kroivim, even any sort. What is used for the chuppah? So we know kesef or shava kesef, but the minig of using a ring, the Ramo and Simon Chav Zayin quotes the Zoya Kaddish, is the ring, that's the minig. Why? Zakt chenuch and tof kuf nun beis. Simple. Because shava kesef is gematria Torah. In other words, the chenuch says, person getting married to build the house of Torah. So he wants to have it implicit in the kedushin. So the gematria of Torah is why we use a ring. Okay. The Tashbitz Katan, the Rishon, says the hakedushin is the gematria is hatabas. Okay, so you like gematrius, that would be another enhancing it. But one thing I want to say, and this is important to tell the kala. The kala should know that when she gets the ring, she is giving up herself for the chasen. She is receiving kedushim. It's not another gift. You know, today there's a checklist, what you have to give the chasen, the kala, you know. That's not part of the checklist, gifts. This is the real thing. This is it. You know, today we think that when the chassan slams the glass after the chuppah to signal the band to stop playing the music, right? That's what people think. No, it's Mishalayim. And the ring is not a gift from the chassan. The ring is when he's Mekadesha. So it has to be understood. The Imrei Emes would tell both chassan and kala, remember you're getting married with this and the Nesivas Tabas. It's not a gift. It's a kedushin. Now, the minig is to use a plain ring, as they state in the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because there should be no misunderstanding. Of course, she's contented to get married. She thought she's getting a very expensive ring. Now that the ring is not so expensive, I would have thought it over. So to rule out any doubts, we give a simple ring, and the minig is that the Masada Kedushin, the Ramah says this, the Masada Kedushin asks the Eidim, is it worth a Shava Pruta? And they say it loud enough so the Kala should hear that we're talking about a Shava Pruta no more. So if the ring is worth $100, you're getting a bargain. But we're not talking about more than a Shava Pruta. So the Kala should hear that and appreciate that the Kedushin is going unconditionally. It's a Kedushin regardless of the Shavis. After this, there's another reason, actually, to avoid problems. And that the Ramah says, Nehagin l'chasois p'nei akalais hatznuois. The minig is to cover the Kala under the chuppah. Ve'einon makpidais b'meh mikadesh oisan. In other words, She goes to the chuppah and she doesn't see the ring because it doesn't make a difference to her. She's happy with the shidduch, whatever the ring is. The reason for covering the face of the kala is to make sure that there's no question about the value of the ring. That's the minig of Klal Yisrael, which I'm not quoting a Rashba. You know, imagine, I'm just thinking about it. Imagine a guy comes to Yiddish Chasana and he's all excited and he says, "Where's the bride?" So they point to the kala. He goes, "Oh, what happened to her? Why is her face covered?" So you have to explain to him that, first of all, the main reason is snias. She's a center of attraction, but called kvud bas melech panima. So we have to make it in a way that she has to be where she has to be, but with a sense of dignity, a sense of snias. The simple reason is covering the face of the kala at snias. But also, the reason is that the kala should know she's agreeing unconditionally. I wonder why they don't cover the chassan's face. He goes with all his expectations, all his list of checklist, but he's supposed to get talis and this and then machzer and that. Maybe there's a message that the chassan has to have his eyes open to see her and think of her and care for her. Someone told me, it goes back many, many years ago, Bianca Kamenetsky was inside a Kedushin. So he had a question, what type of ring to get? So Bianca told him, get the ring that your kala likes most. That's the best kavana under the chuppah. Keep your eyes open and try to satisfy her. But anyhow, either kala, so maybe I'll tell you something Rapam once told us. He said he heard from a person. He said, "I don't think this is the emes of pshat," but he said it touched him. Why did the kala circle the chassan 7 times? Because she's implying that he's the center of my life. So going around, you know, so I guess the chassan and kala are sending messages that of devotion. But it's interesting that the tznius is maintained even in this most public ceremony that the Gemara says, Hatznei Alechas, even a chassan akal, there is tznius. Very important to make sure that the chassan owns the ring. Now, lach is, it has to be his ring. The Masada Kedushin typically asks the chassan, "Is it yours?" So I want to say, sometimes the chassan, he didn't buy it, his parents bought it, and he's embarrassed to say, "It's not mine," so he shakes his head. I once heard the child. After the chuppah, he got all nervous, "It's not mine, his parents bought it." So the assumption is when parents buy it and give it to you, they're not keeping it with strings attached. But he should say the truth. If he didn't spend his own money, which is better to do, let him spend his own money, let him say, "My parents gave it to me," and the chassan and the Masada Kedushin will promptly ask the father, "Did you give it to him? Is it his?" But that's really integral to the actual Kedushin. The interesting question about the under the chuppah, if when sometimes it happens, unfortunately, that the ring is not to be found. Sometimes it gets lost, sometimes left in the yichud room. So sometimes a woman, "I'll give my ring just to make the kedusha." That's not advisable. I once saw this with my own eyes. The Masada Kedushin says, "Are you giving it b'lev shalom?" "Yes." Well, let me think about it. You have to think about it, you know. I'm Michael Tavis. You know, a woman to give up her own ring, you know, is something of, even you're getting it back, but you know, it's not kedai. An interesting question also about the harayat mikudeshes, when it's said. So, harayat mikudeshes, then you give the ring. In that order necessarily, Mariel has a problem. If you say harayat mikudeshes and then give the ring, first you made a kedushin, you owe the money, and then you gave the ring afterwards. Isn't that like mekadesh b'milva? And that's not kedushin. So Mariel insists you first, you give it together with the saying. But that's not the minig. Rav Shlomo Zalman says emphatically, the minig is chas v'shalom to mishana the minig. The minig is he first gives it. He first says, "Harei mekudeshli," and then he gives the ring. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman used to hold on to the chassan's hand that had the ring in it and say, "First say it, and then I'll let you give it." Because the minig Yisrael is kadosh, and that should be done. First, you do like everybody else does. Don't worry about mekadesh milva. You first say it, and then you give it. Agav, this is the one time that you could definitely use a microphone the challah days because it's not a kedushin. A lefty chassan, left-handed chassan, should probably give the kala the ring with his left hand, because you give the kala with the, you give the kala the ring with the right hand like every other mitzvah. But a lefty that uses a lulav and takes lulav in the left hand should do the ring as well. But what's interesting is the lashon of the berhetiv is yunasin yamin di day. Be yamin kala, your right hand, put it onto the kala's yamin. So the Klai Zmig Rebbe and the Tshuva has a beautiful diak, and he says, when you chasen, giving the ring is no different than shaking lulav. If you're a lefty, use your left hand. But the kala, the minig is to put it on the ring finger, which used to be this finger, the second finger. So it's not tali in the kala, lefty or righty. That's why it says yamin kala. It's always the right finger of the kala, right hand of the kala. But the chasen would depend if he's a righty or lefty. What? That's what he says. Maisa, we put on this finger, even though it's not the ring finger. So it's the minig of the ring finger that was. Then you put it on the right hand. That's what the Klai Zmig Rebbe says. A beautiful shaila is, imagine the Edom did not see the Kedusha. They were called up, and for some reason they got distracted. They didn't see the Kedusha. They wake up and they see that the Kala has a ring, but they didn't see it. Or let's say someone heard someone's Ariat Mekadeshesli. He didn't see it. Could it be an Edis? Avadana. So this has caused quite a controversy. How did the Edom valid Edom? They're watching a chosin get married to a thick covering sometimes, woman. They have no idea the identity of the woman behind the veil. Can you swear in the court of law that he married her? You didn't see her. And this has led some paiskim to say that the only time Kedushin works, if the mother will lift up the veil, the Edom will take a quick peek at the kala, and then they see who's getting married. And some insist that this has to be done. Now, of those that insisted, the Aruch HaShulchan has an interesting chap. He says, if the Edom have that minig to go to the Badekin and see the Kala, then they're fine. Why? Because then they saw the Kala then. But you don't go to Badekin. They called you up for Edis. You're watching, this chassan is getting married to this covered woman. I mean, every cow looks the same for me. I mean, because they're all like covered. Now, the reason why many Masada Kedushin object to this, because the minig was not like that. No one looked at the cow. And the assumption is there is 100% guaranteed, this is a Yediyah Barura, that he's marrying this cow. First of all, they had pictures. So I don't know how you're going to pull that off. You know, you don't have a different cow. And they badekun, and they had the chasana dancing, and everybody knows from beginning to the end that this is the kala. I mean, even Lavan couldn't pull off such a trick that I make a whole chasana today, and it's the wrong kala. So the question is, do you have to see the kala or not? Some insist you dafka have to. Some insist you dafka shouldn't. That's inappropriate, especially Eid Machachashva people. And the main problem is, if they see the kala for a split second, do they know how she looks in 5 minutes? You put a lineup of different girls, they couldn't pick her out. So basically, if you're going to Alta Chazakah, Chazakah works in this case as well. The kinyan of the chasun is actually a few of them. Some say when the kala comes into the makom chuppah, that's considered part of the actual kedushin, and that's why some are makbid that the chasun should be koina the makom chuppah. But then again, most poskim say it's understood. You're paying thousands of dollars for the chasuna, it's working. You don't have to be kind of the yichud room, they say. You don't have to be kind of the makom chuppah. Why is there a minig that the chosin gives the kala the ksuba in front of Edim? In other words, some say they want Edim for Mesiras ksuba. Where is that coming from? So this truth, this is not brought in the earlier poiskim. This is because if we're concerned that if just in case other kinyanim didn't work out, we need a backup. And the ksuba could be sort of a shtar kedushin. And that's why you'll notice some Masajik Kedushin will call the Edom over and say, let's watch the Chosin giving over the Kala, the Ksuba. This is not done in many circles, and the reason is we have enough Kinyanim. We have the Chuppah, we have the Yichud Room, we have the Kedushin, the Badekin. And also, there's a problem. Rav Osner writes this, and I'm not joking. He says, I've seen it. You give the Kala the Ksuba. Good. What you can do with it after the Chuppah? She'll put it down. And it ends up in the garbage. So it's not practical. Better give it to the mother, and the mother has a pocket. But you know, there's no pockets in the kala's gowns. So he says, I don't insist that the kala gets the ksuba, but if she wants it, I insist, I make sure that she goes home with the ksuba. You know, you leave the ksuba on the table, it ends up, you know, that's a problem. One last question I wanted to mention also, as far as the actual brachas of the chasana. It's interesting, the brachas of the chasana are a beautiful sequence. And there are some that had the minig that they gave one person all the brachas. But that's good. Why? Why? Is there a mila to it? Because you notice the brachas don't begin as typical brachas. The bracha is what's called the smucha l'chaverta. Sameach t'samach starts in the middle of nowhere. But chas v'shalom is not in the middle of nowhere. Because that's smucha to the bracha previously. But if you got one bracha, but you got sameach t'samach, for example, but the bracha earlier you didn't get, so your bracha doesn't have the smucha l'chaverta. So there were some that felt that it's better to give the brachas to one person. But it's not practical. As it is, we have a shortage of brachas, and people expect kibudim, and to start minimizing would be disastrous. But some do say that to have the erisin, the brachas of the Masada Kedusha make the brachas of the Nesuin as well, that's certainly a problem. You know why? Because then he ends up saying two guffins. Do you ever wonder why we have two guffins under the chuppah? How can you justify two brachas? So Tosfos says that's why you have a Kriyas Ksuba in between, to make a hefsik. The Kriyas Ksuba used to be the Shamash's job. I once made a chasana, and the Mechutin says, my Rav does not want Kriyas Ksuba. He said he's not a Shamash. I knew what he was talking about. But if that happens, you should know, some object. Today it became the Chashuv Kibbut. Fine. Eidus is still better, trust me. But anyhow, but Lamaisa, to give all the brachas on both ends doesn't seem to work. And be careful not to give the wrong bracha out. This happens more than once, and it's embarrassing. They mixed it up. If you said Yaitza Adam before Asher Yatzar, could be you can't make that bracha. But basically, let's hope we all make simchas. Thank you all for coming. A good enough. What? Okay. Yeah, great, right? Oh, I'm going to give you one.